First message, it is a blessing to have Brother Rudy Smith from down around Pickens. I was wanting to say easily, but it's Pickens, South Carolina. As far as I know, he's never preached here before. But he came last year and was in the services for a few days. God struck my heart about him. I appreciate this man's faithfulness. And he's God's man for this hour. Brother Rudy, I want you to come around and preach to us what God's laid on your heart. Amen. He has a heart for revival, has a heart for God. Amen. I love you.
God bless.
Appreciate you.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn with us to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. I am honored to be here. It is my privilege, and I certainly appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I've enjoyed the meeting when I got to come before. I came to this meeting years and years ago. I guess 45, 46, maybe further than that, maybe 50 years ago. Brother Curtis McCarley was my pastor and preached here one time. I drove him down. I'll never forget the meeting. And I appreciate the old-time camp meeting. And I appreciate the privilege of being here. And I hope that what mess I'll make Brother Joe will straighten out here in just a few moments. We're looking forward to Brother Joe and appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I know I'm the new kid on the block, but I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not a young preacher anymore. I know I don't look it, but I'm going to be 73 this year. But I married a young wife. And hallelujah, that's keeping me going. Somebody said, why'd you marry such a young wife? Well, I'd rather smell perfume than liniment. Say amen right there. Praise God, yeah. So it's good to be here tonight. Let's stand together all over the house. Genesis chapter 43, beginning of verse 15. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out to them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for your touch and anointing as we seek to preach the word of the Lord tonight. I pray, God, you'd help us as only you can. Lord, you don't need me, but I sure enough need you. Lord, breathe on us of the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord God, I pray you'd minister grace to the hearer. Thank you for the wonderful singing we've heard thus far and the good meeting thus far. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be a blessing, not a hindrance to the work of God that's being done here. All that's done and accomplished, Lord, we'll give you the glory for it. For we ask it in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated all over the house. I want to call your attention tonight to the verse 23 where Joseph Steward tells these trembling men to fear not. Fear not. Be of good cheer. He said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasures in your sacks. And I want to preach a little bit around that subject tonight of Amen. Treasures in your sacks. Before I do, let's just review a little bit and get the setting of what's taking place here in our text. You need to know that there is a worldwide famine going on. Yes, I said worldwide famine taking place. You can see that in chapter 41 and verse 56. But God, amidst this famine, raises up a Savior to administer the bread of life. His name is Joseph. Now, Jacob, there in what we call the Holy Land, he's found out that that famine has hit there just as well. And they are running low on supplies. So he sends 10 of his sons to go into Egypt and to buy some corn. Unknowingly, they find themselves standing before their brother Joseph, whom they did not recognize, no doubt because of his dress, his haircut, his beard, and he did not talk directly to them, but spoke to them through an interpreter, and he did so roughly. As they stood before him whom they had sold into slavery 20 years before this time. Now, as he looked at them, he knew exactly who they were. And as they bowed prostrate at his feet, my friend, he remembered those dreams that he had. And he began to accuse them of being spies in the land. I'm telling you what, he's kind of prodding them. I believe he wanted them, my friend, to feel the same pain that he felt when he was rejected of his brethren. But anyway, we won't get bound down there. But my friend, as the story continues to unfold, after accusing them of being spies, they began to tell about their family, about their daddy, about their little brother. And Joseph said, hey, this is what we'll do. We'll just let somebody go back and get little brother and prove that you're not spies. Of course, after 3 days, he changed his mind. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bind one of you. I'll send the rest of you home with the supplies. But don't you come back down here without bringing your little brother so that we might know that you're not spies in the land. Well, they head, my friend, down the road, headed back to the house, and they stop off at an inn. And there at the inn, they open their sacks. Now, I ain't got time. If you help me out, I'll get done real quick. By the way, I'm colorblind, so I don't know what color that says back there. But it's flashing at the bottom. It's green, I guess. But hey, but anyway, I want to say, brother and sister, that these folk get to the inn, and you know what the inn's a type of? The inn's a type of the church. Hey, and it's there at the inn where discoveries are made. Oh, yes, and they get there to the inn, but this discovery at first is very troubling and disturbing to them. In their sack's mouth, they find every man's money, the whole amount, everybody, they got to open it. You can just see, my friend, how they got upset, they tore up, they got worried. My, so what are we going to do? How are we going to explain this? Will that man send out an army after us? Hey, there was all kind of emotional roller coasters that they were riding that day, but it was taking place down there at the inn. I want to tell you, I'm glad God hid me up down at the inn one day. Oh, my, so I don't want to run ahead of myself, but I'm sure glad for the work of God. But anyhow, as you continue to end the story, they discovered every man's money in his mouth. or in the mouth of the sacks. And they come home, they tell Jacob, and they all get upset when they look at all of that money and wonder about it all. Well, they ate up that corn after a while, and it run out. And it was time to send back to Egypt because the famine had just begun. And so they decide that we can't go back unless we take Benjamin. Well, after some persuasion, Jacob reluctantly agreed to send Benjamin with them, and they head back to Egypt again. Again, they're standing before Joseph. Again, they're prostrating themselves before him, just like his dream had said. And my friend, but this time, he says to his steward, said, "Hey, bring these boys home to my house." Now, they don't know what he's saying. All they know is, my friend, the steward gets them and said, "Y'all come with me." They don't know they're going to be wined and dined and fed and blessed. All they know is they are being led, my friend, to the house. Now, when they get there, my friend, I'm sure they're upset, they're tore up, they're wondering, why has he brought us down here? Is he going to abuse us here? Is he going to arrest us here? Is he going to attack us here because of that money we had? Maybe he's just going to lock us up. They got scared. But here, I want you to see that there in verse number 18, they were afraid. But in verse 19, and here's what I want to pick up with. Verse 19, "And they came near the steward of Joseph's house." I want to talk about that steward of Joseph's house. Now, as all of you preachers would know, Joseph is one of the greatest Old Testament types of our Lord Jesus Christ. In over 100 ways, he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to point your attention tonight to Joseph's steward. And Joseph's steward was over all the house. And Joseph's steward is a type of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Help me out. How in the world John Baptist get by without one of these things? My ears are big enough to hold it, I reckon. Do you think Joseph Stewart's a type of the Holy Ghost? Well, just look at some of these things. Some of these things about this steward, he communes at the door. He brings into the house. Oh, yes, he gives water to wash the feet. And he spreads the table. That's what he does. He saves us. Hallelujah. He sanctifies us. And he supplies all our needs. Now, as we look at this steward tonight, I want to mention a few things, five things, if you want to jot these down. Number one, I want to say a word about the steward's words of communication. Verse 19, "And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him." They had communication with him at the door of the house. So they're communicating. The steward is communicating with him. Now, if you realize that when Joseph did talk to the men before this time, he did so through an interpreter. And that interpreter knew their language. And that interpreter knew his language. And I'm telling you what, when you think about the Holy Ghost, may I say that he is heaven's interpreter. I want to say, bless God, he knows heaven's language. And he knows our language. And we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us that we can't utter. I'm glad I have an interpreter. I'm glad I have one that can interpret to me the word from God. He guides us into the truth. He gives us understanding of the word. And I bless his name. He is heaven's interpreter. By the way, your Bible that you hold before you, whether it's a King James, you got anything else, you ought to junk it, but hold on to that King James. But your Bible was written primarily in Greek and Hebrew as far as language, but it was written in a deeper language than that. It was written in the language of the Holy Ghost. And it takes the Holy Ghost to interpret this word. God left us an interpreter. The Spirit of God, he wrote this book. He knows what he said. He won't lead you astray. Some people have a so-called experience, an emotional experience, and they come up and try to do something that's contrary to this book. I'm telling you what, anything that's contrary to this book was not authored by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will not contradict himself. So thank God for the interpreter. He interprets to us the words of our Lord. But he also interprets our prayers and carries them on his wings. We don't know how to pray, do you? Hey, I would to God we could get in the Holy Ghost when we pray. That's when you pray and pray through. Thank God for this steward, the words of communication. Then number two, I want you to think about the steward's words of comfort. Here in verse 23, and he said, peace be unto you, fear not. Peace be unto you, peace be unto you. All the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. I'm glad for that peace. Hallelujah, that the Holy Ghost works in our soul. Thank God for the comfort. Not only, my friend, is there a calm peace, but the comfort. The Spirit of God is the comforter. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send unto you another comforter. And the Parakletos, that called to one's aid and one's side, that blessed Holy Ghost, that Mother Nature of God, is here to console us and to comfort us. And boy, these boys needed to have some comfort. They were full of fear. They was wondering what was happening. But he had, I'm glad with the Spirit of God. Hey, after I come into the house, I'm glad that the Spirit of God assured me and comforted me. Words of comfort. Not only the steward's words of comfort, but number three, the steward's words of covenant. Back in verse 23. At your God and the God of your father. Man, when he talks about the God of their father, it brings to my mind a covenant-keeping God. He's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. May I say that the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the new covenant. The old covenant, my friend, was administered. Oh, yeah, the disposition of angels, and my friend, there was judgment and wrath. But we are under a new covenant. The old covenant had glory about it, but all the glory of the new covenant. Hey. Think of 2 Corinthians 3:8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Hey, I'm talking about this steward, how he pictures the work of the Holy Ghost. Words of communication, words of comfort, words of covenant. Number four, I want you to see his words of confirmation. I like this statement. Look in verse 23. Y'all with me? Look down there at verse 23. Last part of last statement. I had your money. Now you say, what are you getting out of that? Well, what I'm getting out of that is this steward is confirming that the payment has already been made. Hey, when the Holy Ghost came
came on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah! He came to confirm the blood's been applied. The gift is given. God's amazing grace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Words of confirmation. Hey, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know I'm saved because the Bible says, amen, I've done what it said to do. But guess what? I have a witness. Amen. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost that witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. I'm glad for that heavenly witness that confirms that I am one of His own. We're looking at this steward. The steward's words of communication, his words of comfort, his words of covenant, his words of confirmation. But I want to bog here for just a minute. Number five, the steward's words of consolation. Man, what a statement. He said, your God and the God of your fathers hath given you treasures in your sacks. Something they didn't deserve. Hey, they were hateful. They rejected Him. They had turned on Him. They didn't deserve the blessings of Joseph. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my soul. But isn't it amazing that God's grace is so marvelous? Hey, He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I bless His name. I think about the words of consolation. Your God has given you treasures in your sacks. Boy, there's a whole message on this sacks right here. Y'all just get the outline, go preach it, all right? If you do, send me $5, okay? But I want you to think about the words of consolation. Think about, first of all, these sacks. Now, these sacks are kind of like our lives. Our lives are just like these old sacks. You see, they were common sacks. We just common, ordinary folk. Hey, they were corn sacks. I'm telling you what, brother. Hey, they carried around the life-giving, amen, corn of heaven. These were not only corn sacks, but they were chosen sacks. There's a lot of sacks got filled up that day down there in Egypt. But only these chosen sacks would be recipients, my friend, of unseen treasure. Oh, my. So the sacks. And then I think about the sustenance here. In these sacks, my friend, was bread for the hungry. In these sacks was salvation for those in famine. Sustenance for life. All of that speaks of Christ. Christ, my friend, is the provision. He is the bread of heaven. He not only is the provision, He's the provider. And He's not only the provider, bless God, He's the price. You see, that bread didn't cost them a thing, but it cost Joseph. And the bread that God's given us, the salvation you and I enjoy, hallelujah, as we feed on Him, hey, it didn't cost us anything. But it's not cheap. It cost Him everything. I'm telling you what, your salvation is a great salvation because God Almighty so loved that He gave. God gave His Son. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but brother and sister, when God gave His Son, He gave His all. He gave His heart. He gave His very soul. He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, hey, Christ died for us. I thank God that He loved such unlovely men and women, boys and girls, and He so loved that He gave, not to it just hurts, but it hurt Him my friend, as his son became sin and he turned his back on him. I'm telling you, friend, God loved us. It cost God. It cost Christ. He paid for our salvation with his own blood. It cost the Holy Ghost. Some years ago, about, oh, I guess it's been maybe 45, 46 years ago, I preached the Land of the Sky Jubilee one night for Ralph Sexton, a message, the Suffering Trinity. It dawned on me one day that when Jesus was on the cross and he cried, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he cried that, friend, that was Eloi the Father and Eloi the Holy Ghost. Why did he cry, thou hast forsaken me? God is too holy to look on sin. And Jesus had been made sin for us. And God withdrew his glory. Oh, my soul, and there in that darkness, oh, my friend, on the cross, there was division in the Trinity for one time in eternity. He was separated from God so that I would never have to be. Hallelujah. Won't you ever get a hold on that? You'll run to Goobertown, Arkansas. Have a spell. I want to say, my friend, not only that Jesus suffered, but the Holy Ghost suffered. The Holy Ghost is the mothering nature of God. When I ask you, mamas, when that little young gets sick, it tears you up. He gets hurt, it tears you up. Could I say when Jesus became sin and the Holy Spirit and the Father had to withdraw from him in that darkest hour, I'm telling you, talk about hurting God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, working in unity as a Trinity to redeem us to God. Hallelujah. It cost God everything. Well, the sex, the sustenance. But then I want to mention about the surprise. The surprise. What do you mean surprise? Well, look at this. God hath given you treasure. The Hebrew term is matmium. And matmium means a secret storehouse. Oh, man, if you get a hold, I wish you'd get a hold of that. It is also means hidden riches and hid treasure. Oh, yes. And I want to say, brother, God's blessing. Not only has he given us sacks of corn to save us and sustain us, but he's put in much more. He's put in us a secret storehouse, unseen treasures, treasures of the grace of God. But I'm telling you what, these treasures were at first undetected. Secondly, they were uncovered. Third, where were they uncovered? Down there at the inn. It's down at the church where you'll find out all that the Lord's done for you. These treasures were undeniable, and they were unexplainable, and they were undeserved. But the Lord had given them treasures in their sacks. You see, brother and sister, not only do you and I get to miss hail, hallelujah, but by eating the bread of God. But there are treasures on top of that. I'm talking about superabounding. What about the blessings of heaven? What about glory in your soul? What about joy unspeakable? What about God answering prayer? What about God meeting your need? He not only saved you from hell, he's blessed you. He's helped you. There's treasures. There's treasures. That little youngin' beside you is a treasure. You got good health, that's a treasure. Has God let glory come down in your soul? That's a treasure. Hallelujah. I wish I had time to preach that, but I'm done.